You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 8th, episode 3967, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You know, Jamie, it's that time of the year. It's muzzle time. Time to start thinking about putting muzzles on the horses. And we're going to speak with Kara from GG Equine about when about when and why you should be using a muzzle with your horse, your pony, or your mini. Remember Ricky Bobby? I used to talk about Ricky Bobby when we lived at the old place. Ricky Bobby was a little mini that lived next door, and we used to go out driving and riding. Ricky Bobby was a driver. So Scooter and Ricky Bobby used to go out together. And we saw Ricky Bobby over the weekend for the first time in a long time, and he came right up and nuzzled me with his muzzle on. So that's what made me think of that. Coach Jen tells us about a new two-stop product that finally worked for James, and Jamie's going to do her annual lesson on the training for the 4th of July, because guess what, Jamie? It's going to be worse this year.
It's going to be worse this year.
It's the 250th. And I saw a couple articles about the towns around here who do fireworks saying they're doing bigger and better than ever fireworks. So we're going to see a lot more fireworks this year, I think. And then we're also going to meet one of our auditors in our Meet the Auditor segment in the post show. We're going to say hi to Sarah. So looking forward to chatting with her in the post show.
Well, we have to talk about the race over the weekend. How cool was that? You know, we were doing our picks. We both were like, Golden Tempo, we want to win. And then we're trying to pick another horse that we thought might win. But I just, because Golden Tempo was a favorite on the day we were recording the show, but then he went off at 5-1 and I didn't bet him. And I'm so mad because, like, what a race, dude. That horse comes from last to first.
Again.
It reminds me of so many other horses. But to be, I mean, he was so covered in mud just from eating dirt in the back.
I couldn't tell which one he was at the end.
Yeah.
Just was covered.
They're just covered. So congratulations to him and Sherry
DeVoe. And he takes his time. He didn't even really start making the move till the final turn. It's crazy.
Well, you know, a billion times Sherry DeVoe has been questioned on the decision that she made to keep him out of the Preakness. Like, to unending. And I mean, the horse goes and wins the Belmont. I bet in her, like, her belly, she's like, dang, it would have been cool if he won that one. But she did the right thing for the horse. She knew what the horse needed. And so everybody can just
but
shut up.
But that's all everybody's been writing about. If she'd only done it. Now it's even worse, right? Now it's even a worse thing. It's, if she'd only done it. Well, I don't think she's too unhappy with both wins. So
no, I think she's good. I think she's good. So
I think she's taking that one to the bank.
And I know he was already sold to Stud, so I'm sure they're thrilled too. I can't remember who's going to take him at the second, but way to go, Sherry DeVoe. Way to go, Jose Ortiz. Way to go. Obviously, Golden Tempo crushed it, man. That was fun. That was fun to watch.
But, and that also makes her the first female trainer ever to win two of the Triple Crown races.
You got it.
So there you go. I mean, she's not unhappy. As I said, she's cashing that check and she's not looking back. So.
It was so funny to watch the people like in the when she's getting interviewed afterwards. Oh my God. Like the people in the background are like holding up their own business cards. They're like, one guy's like just kind of following the camera around. Just the people in the, like when I watch movies, I watch the extras. I love to watch the people in the background because they do such weird stuff and no different. It was like these kids had figured out that I guess mom was going to be on screen and they had like these cards they were holding up by her head. I was like, oh my God, leave her alone. Go away, children. I'd smack you in the mouth.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Have a bunch of auditor birthdays today. Shelly P, Kayla P, Gina M, Spirit B, Kelly K, and Laura B. Bunch of auditor birthdays. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific day.
I found the perfect video to describe my existence with my husband. So remember, he was an Air Force guy. So I was an officer's wife, right? And there's like a lot that comes with that. And now I'm an airline pilot's wife. And I feel like when I look around at some of the other airline pilot wives, we're not the same.
Less parties for airline pilot wives, though, than F-16 wives, though, right?
Well, yeah. It's just, you know, so like you think of like officers' wives or pilot wives as like having their nails done, like looking cute in the house, like
wearing
keeping
little skirts.
A clean house, wearing some, you know, heels, and like their husband gets home and they're like, you know, greet them at the door with a cocktail and like they smell good and they're so pretty and they're like, honey, hi, I'm so glad you're home, blah, blah. Here's me. My husband gets home from a trip yesterday, and I'll tell you the video in a second, but my husband gets home on a trip and I am sitting Indian style, legs out in my living room, putting ointment on my tick bites, and I'm already in my pajamas and it's like 4 p.m. My hair is messed up because I haven't showered because I just showered. That's right. Because I got in from pulling weeds and I felt like I had ticks all over me. And I went to the shower and I'm like, oh, they're everywhere. And so I'm picking ticks off me. And he comes home. My hair's all wet and in a towel. And I'm sitting on the floor in like a tank top and like undies and putting medicine on tick bites. And I'm like, hi. How are you? Welcome home to this beautiful creature that I'm representing. but the video that I saw, and it says me realizing my husband still happily comes home to me, even though I'm chubby, opinionated, and look homeless 99% of the time. And I was like, add on the floor, putting ointments on your tick bites. So sexy.
It is sexy.
So sexy.
But now you know I have to do it because it's my obligation. Keep an eye on those bites. Keep an eye on the bites. Just any bullseye rashes, go get the medicine. Go get the antibiotics right away.
So what would they look like? Because I'm allergic to them. Like
it's gonna look like a little circle. Are they little tiny ticks or are they the big ticks?
The ones I picked up last night were tiny,
yeah,
tiny,
they're the ones
like
that
tiny,
carry the
babies.
Lyme disease. So it's a little deer ticks. That's what they're called. The little tiny ones. They're deer ticks. And there's the one that carry the nasty diseases, Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Cool. So now I need to go to the hospital. It's like, I'm trying to keep horses from dying. And now I have to keep me from dying
just
too.
Just keep
like,
an eye. If you get a bullseye rash, you'll know it. It looks like a little bullseye. Then you need a month's worth of antibiotics. And you just go to your doctor, tell them, here it is. And they'll just give it to you. It's not a big deal.
Well, you know what the worst thing is last week I got bit by a tick. And ladies, imagine you're hooking your bra, okay, in the very back, and you know you have to, like, especially when you get our age, like, you have to hook it, and that's where the tick bit me, right in the middle, and I can't
rubbing on it the whole time.
And my bra sits on it and just irritates it, and I can't scratch it, so I look like a horse leaning up against the fence. So add that to the sexy. I've got my back leaning up against the stall door, like rubbing back and forth like a horse. Yeah.
Add about
so
a half a bale of hay in that bra, and you're good to go.
Oh, man. It's hot. I can't believe I look at him and I'm like, you're so lucky to have me. Oh, look at this. Look,
you know,
at this,
he's got to think, because he has a long drive coming home from Dallas a lot, right?
So yes,
he's a long drive.
The worst.
He's got to think on his way home, what am I walking into today? Most people are pretty confident they're walking into kind of the same thing every day. With him, it's got to be, oh my God.
Oh, you never know. You never know.
What makes his life interesting and fun? Otherwise, it'd be boring, right?
I am definitely not boring. Thank you, Glenn, for appreciating that.
It's probably a bonus for him. Otherwise, his life would be dull. He lives in Oklahoma. He's an Oklahoma man, you know. You know, they're kind of just ordinary. But look, he has an extraordinary life now.
I mean, look at him. He's so lucky to have me. It's amazing.
Hey, you did another good thing, too, and you didn't even know it. For years, you were bugging me to watch Ted Lasso, and I just talked about the fact that I watched the first 6 episodes on the plane, and I actually liked it, and we agreed. Now a whole bunch of other people, apparently, due to your nagging, have started watching it, and they posted in the audit room that they're also liking it with their spouses. So
listen,
look at you being an ambassador for Ted Lasso.
But then here's what I'm going to say. You guys are all jerks. I've been talking about it for like 5 years. Five years, and Glenn watches six of them, and you're like, I'm in. Like, that's what I see. Nobody listened to me until you were stuck in an airplane with no internet, and you had nothing else to watch, and it was free. And so you watched the six, and you're like, well, this is actually pretty good. Thank you. And now everybody else is like, I'm going to watch it too. Like, it's fantastic.
Of course, all my shorts now that I'm getting served up on Instagram or Facebook are about Ted Lasso. I didn't realize that it wasn't even meant to be a series. It was a commercial for soccer, right? It was a soccer commercial, apparently played in London, and it took off from the commercial, and that's when they said, well, we should make a series out of it. But I didn't realize that. And the guy who played Ted Lasso, was all his idea. What was his name?
His name is Jason Sudeikis. Yeah. He's a brilliant. He was on SNL for a long time. Yeah. He's funny. And he wrote the whole thing, him and the other two guys that he kind of went along. Coach Beard helped write it. They're like actual best friends in real life. So it's really a neat story. And screw all of you who are like, oh my God, it's so good. Like, you're right. Yeah, I was right 5 years ago. Excuse me. I will tell you that August 5th, the new season comes out.
Is
and
it
I've
August
been
5th?
Waiting years.
All right, then I got to get caught up with the previous seasons, so I'm ready to watch that one.
It's not fair. You didn't have to wait. I feel like you shouldn't be able to watch the new season for at least 3 years.
Why did they quit after season 3? Why did they stop?
Jason Sudeikis said it was the perfect end.
Oh, apparently.
Why don't you just watch it and quit asking
it
questions?
It was the perfect end until he needed more money. Now it's back.
I don't think that he knew just how popular it would be.
Do you think
people.
It's gotten more popular over time? Was it as popular when it was playing?
I mean, it was for us. Like, we watched it every Sunday when the new episode came out.
But
so it was popular to us.
It's had
but
a life after, too.
Yeah. Well, it's still like Apple TV in the top 5 every single day. So
it's kind of had the Game of Thrones effect, you know, I guess.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's true. Although, you know, I still see interviews about Game of Thrones, too. It's crazy. Hey, guess what? Another screw worm, a second one found. Now, it was found 5.6 miles away from the first one in Texas. So they consider that in the quarantine area. So that's the distance that the flies can go, you know, the larvae and all that stuff. So they didn't consider it out of the quarantine area, which would be worse. However, other states now are starting to impose restrictions. Florida did, and a bunch of other states on any animals coming out of that part of Texas. They're just banned. And Mexico, of course, and all that. So it's definitely out there now. It's getting more noticed, and they're definitely paying attention. So apparently this facility we talked about, and that's the other thing. Thank you to the auditors who actually put in there. We kind of joked about them releasing 16 million flies, and because they've released things before in the past that have turned out to be worse than the things they were trying to get rid of.
We were talking about the mosquitoes, but this is like life-saving.
And apparently the whole mosquito thing has worked in the past. We had some auditors who were kind of experts in it, and thank you for posting all of that. We were kind of making fun of it because of the things they have released in the past that have created problems, especially in Florida. But obviously this does work, and hopefully they're built. That fly factory is not built yet, apparently. So they're hoping to get that finished real soon.
Quick.
I think they're working 24 hours a day on that one now.
Did say they're releasing 8 million flies per week in the area, the sterile ones.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they're trying to get it done. But if this spreads, they're going to be able to be releasing them everywhere. So we're going to need a lot more sterile flies, I think. Why didn't I buy stock in a sterile fly company? That would have been good.
I'm sorry. What company is that? Exactly.
As you head into serious hauling season, remember that every mile with traditional rubber mats is a mile where moisture and waste are trapped against your trailer floor, fueling hidden corrosion. Worm Flooring eliminates this risk by bonding permanent non-porous rubber seal directly to your subfloor. It's the ultimate spring upgrade. You get the floor that protects your aluminum from rot and a seamless finish that never needs to be pulled out or scrubbed. Visit wormflooring.com to find a trailer dealer near you that installs it. it. And I know some people that that have listened to these commercials have had to drive 4 hours, and they did that anyway. So good for you, by the way. They did that to get it installed. You can find it on wormflooring.com. And then you don't have to wrestle heavy mats ever again. You don't have to worry about that ever again. Well, it is that time of year, when we start thinking about using muzzles. The grass is growing, at least in most parts of the country, the grass is growing. And horses are getting fatter by the minute. My pony is as is skinny and fit and doesn't ever have a problem with fatness. But we have Kara Robinson on. She's Director of Product Management and Customer Success at GG Equine. Hey, Kara.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's muzzle season, Kara. It's muzzle season. You guys live
for some of us, it's been muzzle season.
You live for muzzle season. But, you know, a lot of people are starting to think about it now. And, muzzles are one of those things that none of us wants to do. You kind of have a weird job. Because none of us wants to put a muzzle on our horse. We do everything we can not to put a muzzle on our horse, right?
Yeah.
So
that's a concern we hear a lot.
Yeah.
This is what I tell my horses when I'm putting a muzzle on them, Glenn.
Yeah.
Is first of all, I put a little like sugarless cookie into the muzzle that they love. And then like every time I put the muzzle on, it's like the happiest experience. And I can hold it up and they'll come running. And I'm like, y'all are so dumb. You're going to stand in this for 12 hours for one cookie? Hashtag not worth it. Anywho, I tell them when I'm putting it on, I'm like, listen, it's this or death. Put it on. I'm pretty dramatic.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that works about as well as the cookie after about 2 minutes, and they figure out they've been tricked again every day.
This or death.
So,
yeah.
Let's talk about why we use muzzles, obviously. And I think this, our listeners are all horse people, right? We kind of get it. But one of the things that I think has changed over the time we've even been doing this podcast, we've covered laminitis a lot on this show over the last 16 years. But we kind of thought about it as kind of this one-time thing. You know, they got in the grain bin and then they got sick and died. But I think research now is telling us that it's actually built up over time. And I think even the veterinary community is changing its tune on this, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely been some research out there that shows that it's more about like lifestyle, kind of like a lot of things with humans. Like it's not that one cookie that did you in, it's the cookie or more than one cookie every night for the last 10 years.
Okay, so I'm feeling personally attacked.
I'm so sorry.
You can't eat just one cookie. That's the problem.
Fair.
You eat the whole sleeve of cookies.
Let her finish. It's a lifestyle, Glenn.
It's a lifestyle. And balancing the cookies with exercise and good turnout. Again, just like with people, there's like genetics that can come into it too. But for the most part, the thing that we're seeing is prevention is our best friend. And maintaining a lifestyle where your horse can be active, but also kind of restrict the highest sugar options in a way that's like sustainable is going to be the best way to prevent things like laminitis. It's, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
And we talk about grass, obviously, but there's certain times of day that the grass is worse for my fat pony than other times, correct?
Yeah. And there's actually apps out there, which I think is really interesting. I'm not sure how like accurate they are, but there are apps that can tell you like when the sugar is highest. But it's kind of a moving target because the best information out there says that it slows down, the sugar lowers about 3 hours after sundown and comes up about 3 hours after sunrise during photosynthesis during the growing season. But it can also spike with things like drought. If we just get a lot of rain, all of a sudden, like things start growing again, sugar spikes. If it just gets mowed, anything that's stressed, overgrazed. So it's like one of those things, like anything can cause the grass to be stressed or have a sugar spike. So there's so many factors. And that's why I love a muzzle because it's on. And I just know that they're going to not be able to get too much, even if the sugar goes up and down throughout the day.
You know, I know we think about using a muzzle in relation to draft horses or fat ponies, things like that, certain breeds. Mm-hmm. But Jamie, you used one. Have you ever used one on a thoroughbred?
Glenn, again, no. It's funny. Those guys, I was just thinking as y'all were talking, I'm like, oh, it's so fun to have some horses I don't have to muzzle. But I have a mix of like Iberians and thoroughbreds. And guess who wears the muzzles? And now I have a couple quarter horses that are, you know, we have to get a baby size muzzle for Butters. So yeah, there's definitely a relief for the ones that emotionally I don't have to muzzle, but there's a huge relief when the other guys are muzzled, because then I don't have to stress about them getting too much sugar in the day. And that's why I know you work for the company, but I've talked about this muzzle for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Green Guard is just the best muzzle. You know, it doesn't, when they dunk it in the water, Ben, I always think like during the day they get that hot water in there, and then I just can't imagine being so close to their nose and it's hot and molds and just they're breathing that in and all that. This is the
Jamie
level
has
of anxiety.
A very vivid imagination.
Oh no, we've seen it. No, we've seen. Oh. I had a student that had a horse in a muzzle, and she was switching out some padding on it. When she undid it, it was just full of black mold, and they'd started treating it for allergies, and they realized
See,
it was
I'm
the
not
muzzle.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, you're not crazy. Well, not for that reason.
Again, we feel seen today. No, literally, my whole goal with my horses is like, how can I keep you from dying today? You know, mm-hmm. And so like mm-hmm. The muzzle is like the probably 7 months a year that I'm like, hey guys, like this is just how we're going to keep you alive today.
Are there some horses? My pony has been one of these horses who just hates it so bad that he yeah. tries to rip it off in every way possible. Are there some horses just never adjust to them?
Yeah, I think there are. We see a lot, like I see a lot of our customer support things that come through. So like I've seen a little bit of everything. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of time. I always like to help support customers. We have some good strategies on like getting them used to it. I love the idea of introducing it to them with a cookie or low sugar appropriate treat to create those positive associations. And then also this time of year, when you really don't want them out on grass without a muzzle, the horse associates the muzzle with getting to go out and graze. And our philosophy is that we want every horse to be able to go graze. We want them to be able to have their unlimited freedom, forage, and friends. And, you know, if the other option is a dry lot or a stall, a lot of times it might take a little bit of time and some troubleshooting. And our team's really good at helping with like Houdini issues or, you know, fit issues, rub issues. We've got a great return policy. If you get the wrong size, our support team this is all we do. So, you know, we are really happy to work with customers so we get everything just right. But we actually have a whole video on how to kind of acclimate your horse to the muzzle and teach them how to use it and get them comfortable with it.
And
well, speaking of Houdini's, Glenn, real quick, I'm so glad you guys now have different colors of the muzzle, because when you first came out with them, they were green. And then I'm like, really? Uh-huh. I have to go look at this field of grass for a green muzzle, and now I've got hot pink, and it is like so easy to spot.
Yes.
Can you, yours are a little bit different in that, you know, the muzzles of the old days, right? Mm-hmm. Came with the halter and everything kind of built in. It was kind of this big contraption. And yours are a little different in that you can use any halter, right?
Yeah, they can go on any halter. We recommend something with some type of breakaway option. Right. We've got a lot of accessories that you can either like convert a regular halter to a breakaway, or they can help a standard halter be a little more Houdini proof. So we've got lots of add-ons. There's a lot of ways to go about it, you know, just kind of depending on, I'm a DIY person, so I'm going to buy the bare minimum and then like rig it up myself. But some people don't want that. They want the whole thing to come and just put it on their horse and not have to worry about it. So we have a little bit of options for everyone on that spectrum.
And they're adjustable. And I wanted to ask you this because I never knew the answer to this. Is how close is the mouth part supposed to be to their mouth?
So a lot of our information for a long time said an inch.
And we found
that customers were adjusting them way too far away. So I don't know if, you know, inch is a little different in some parts of the U.S. So we've changed that to somewhere between an inch and a half an inch. I like half an inch because leather stuff will stretch over time, especially if it rains. And so that way things stretch out a little bit. We don't want it pressed right up against their lips. As long as there is some daylight between their lips and the bottom of the muzzle when their head's up, you're probably okay. And we want it to be like parallel to their lips too. Then, you know, that's probably okay. But if you're ever not sure, you can take a picture of your whole setup on your horse from the side, send it to our team, and we will help figure out, you know, if it's adjusted correctly and give you step-by-step instructions on like loosen this, tighten that, et cetera, to address whatever issue or question you're having.
And these have evolved in design since they first came out, too, because I remember when they first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the new design. The way they're designed now is so much better, and it just works now.
And so
are these available in what sizes?
So the Green Guard muzzle comes in a miniature horse size, a pony, or I say small pony, because a lot of, like, large ponies actually go in our horse size. So mini pony and horse. And then we have a large horse and warm blood / draft muzzle coming out in a few days. So, so that's going to be pretty exciting for our bigger horses.
Maybe I see a muzzle in your future for...
what I was just looking at is that, you know, one of the problems that people have with the muzzles is the horses are biting so hard that they wear off their front teeth. You know, sometimes they mm-hmm. they take down some front teeth. You have a new product to me that's an insert, but it's leather. So they're not having
yes.
this scrape. Oh my gosh. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So those are actually made here in the U.S. by the same company that makes most of the hoof pads, like the leather hoof pads that you'd see from your farrier. And we developed that here. Actually, my horse was part of our main product testing. And what we found is that horses that get tooth wear, it typically happens because there's dirt and debris in the muzzle. The like mm-hmm. plastic of the muzzle itself, it's actually not a plastic. It's like an elastomer. Which is a fancy word for like rubber and plastic together.
Okay.
But it's designed to be softer than a horse's teeth. But if dirt and sand get embedded in it, and it kind of creates like a sandpaper-like effect. And the leather insert does not hold on to the dirt and the debris. And it slowly wears away because something's going to give. If your horse is taking however many millions of bites per day, something is going to wear. And so we want the thing to wear to be the thing that's replaceable, which, you know, now can be that leather insert.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. And every horse is different. I mean, we've had people whose horses have eaten through the bottom of the muzzle in under a month, which is rare. But, you know, there's some sharky toothed horses out there. And we have, you know, some muzzles that last forever and horses wear them their whole lives. And we see zero tooth wear. And then other horses that, you know, might have a little incisor wear, but typically it's from, you know, just stuff that gets in the muzzle and creates a little bit of a rough surface. So if you ever notice that in the muzzle, check into getting an insert. They're super helpful.
That's cool. I like it.
Well, two more questions. One is, where can they find it? And two is, you guys are going to do a coupon code. And by the way, this is not a paid spot. They are not paying to be on. We asked them to come on because it is muzzle season. We do talk about this usually about once a year. And Jamie and I both use muzzles because, you know, we have those kind of horses. So tell us where they can buy them and what the coupon code is.
Yeah, so you can buy direct from us online at GG.com. Like the letters gg-equine.com. There's also lots of other local tack shops that carry our products. We've got a whole list on our website if you want to buy somewhere brick and mortar, see it in person first. And then the coupon code for 15% off is going to be HRN.
And do we know how long that lasts for?
That's going to last for 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today.
So this is Monday the 8th, so 2 weeks from today. So get your muzzles. It's that time of year anyway to get them. And I'm sure Jamie will be buying another one because now that you're when are the big ones available, the draft horse?
So we're doing a soft launch starting tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay.
And they'll be widely available later this summer.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate your efforts to keep our horses from marching toward death, as Jamie would say.
Sure. No, thanks so much for having me. This is great.
Clarafly Larvicide is more than just a fly control product. It's a first step towards improving horse comfort and keeping nuisance flies out of your stables. This feed additive uses an active ingredient that passes through the digestive system of horses and it gets expelled in the manure, where it stops flies in their larval stage. By using Clarafly Larvicide as part of an integrated pest management program, you'll get more support, more expertise, and more control. Visit centralflycontrol.com to learn more or contact your feed dealer.
Jamie, this is also not a paid commercial. It's something that we get asked about, and I see posted in the auditor room on a regular basis, is there a chew stop that actually works? And everybody has their own home concoctions. Well, James, from the day we got him, has been a chewer on metal and wood and all this stuff. I got Coach Jen.
He chews metal? That hurts my teeth to think about.
We have the metal panels, you know, the round tubing.
Yeah.
And loves to chew on that. We have Coach Jen here because she said to me last night, she said, I finally found something that actually works for James. And this has been, 2 years in the making now?
Yeah.
So what is it?
Well, not only does James chew on things. Let's set it up here. He loves to, he just takes his outer incisors and he rakes them continuously across whatever surface he has available.
Ah,
left, right. It's like he's filing his nails, but he's doing his teeth. And he's really damaging his teeth doing it. I've tried lots of things. And I found a couple of things that if I spray it on, it'll work for a few hours. But that's all. And I finally found a local store that carries a really, really old product called Raplast. It's one of those old-timey things. It's probably been around since the 1800s, and it probably contains things that are toxic. But
when I heard that you were doing it on this, I was like, this product has been around since, like, it seems like the 20s. Been around forever and ever. So you've just tried everything else, but never had tried this?
I had never tried this. It's been my experience that a lot of stores don't carry Raplast anymore, but we have a very strong racing community here. And it's still a standby for the racing community because these horses get all amped up. They're ready to run. I'm ready to go. And then they get bored because they have leg wraps on and they chew on the leg wraps. And it stains everything. It irritates your eyes. If you breathe it in, you're just going to want to die. If you get it on your skin, you're going to wash your hands for 15 minutes. It is nasty.
Well, I have used Raplast because it is one of those products, that's around racetracks and everything. But if you spray it on your leg wraps to keep your horse from chewing on the wraps, then what happens is you have to take the wraps off later and then, like, totally burns your eyeballs.
And then you're like, loves to take the leg wraps off.
And like goggles and like a mask. I mean, because you take the leg wraps off and you're like, oh my God. And then you have to put them back on after that. Like, well, no, it's I can see why it works.
It's nasty. And it's the only thing I found that kept him from, because the other products would keep him from actually chewing. Great. But the raking of his teeth, nothing seem to really help that. And it's gotten to the point now that he's not finding new places anymore. Because I would spray one spot and he'd find a new spot. I'd throw that one and he'd find a new spot. And he's finally kind of gone, you know, every time I try something, this really sucks.
I wonder if he was taken from his mom early because Butters had an issue too with, I can't feed Butters out of the feeder because if I feed him in the corner feeder, he grabs it and then almost crib chews while he's eating. So I ended up having to, we did a lot of experiments with him to try to figure out where he was going to be happier. And now he has a tub on the ground that I just dump the feed into. And then it keeps him from like chewing and all that stuff. Yeah. So
I would not be surprised if it is related to those, or he had a, or his dam did not produce milk well and he was hungry all the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, because a lot of his behaviors you associate with a foal
really
wants to eat. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's no extra buckets. Like, I can't keep a water bucket in his stall. He'll just tear it off the wall, chewing. He want, if he given the opportunity, he would be a cribber. Absolutely. I can totally see him getting to be a cribber, because he is so oral whenever he's stressed.
Yeah.
It goes straight to his mouth. Absolutely. Yeah. But this worked so that now I can keep him from destroying his teeth. The horse dentist will be so much happier when he comes.
That, and you, because you're sitting in the barn after feeding, listening to these teeth be raking across the middle. Stop it. And you throw food at him. You're like, stop it. It just escalates.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he starts to do it. So he gets some interaction with the human, which he finds wonderfully joyful and entertaining. So, okay, I'm reinforcing it there too. So,
yeah.
So now I just walk in there. I look for some tooth marks on the wall when he's not around, spray it where I see some tooth marks. And then he comes back in without any interaction from his human, which he loves, goes, oh, that sucked. So, yeah. If you don't mind having to wear a gas mask.
A commercial bodysuit.
A commercial bodysuit, yeah.
And just know that if you do your laundry, it doesn't ever come out of your wraps. Nope. So just buy some cheap ones if you're going to use it on them. Don't put it on your good ones.
Yeah, and don't let any of the overspray, like, get into a water bucket in his stall. If I have to go in there and spray, I take his hay net out. I take everything out. Don't let it overspray into the neighbor's stall. It's wicked.
James, knock it off.
There's good news. James is improving under saddle. He's getting better.
Oh, good.
So that's good.
Yes.
So that's good.
Three good rides in a row. Yeah. We're nearing a race.
I'd have a normal horse in another year or two.
So, are you gating him at all, Jen, or is it just trotting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. We trot a tiny bit, but because it's kind of like you have a horse that's really prone to hollowing their back from walk to trot. You might do a shoulder in as the transition into the trot. We use the trot as a training aid. But oh yeah, absolutely. He gates beautifully.
The only times I've ridden gated horses, I'm like, am I doing it? Is he doing it? So you could just get right into it. You know what it is at this point. So that's good.
But oh,
I'm excited that things are going well for you.
That was one of the easiest things. Is it's the, you know, fear of the universe that's much, much more difficult.
Yeah.
It is funny though, watching being a spectator for this particular gate, because it's almost a cross between Pasifino and a regular gated horse. It's kind of got that little in between there. It's just kind of a weird little gate.
It is a weird little gate, but so much better. But
you don't bounce around. There's no bouncing around. Jennifer's like, perfectly still up there on the gate.
I bet you bounce when they spook.
That's launch. That's different than bounce.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, thank you, Jen, for letting us know. It's called Chew Stop. It's available at... It's called Rap Last. Yeah, Rap Last. It's available at all the different stores. Well, some of the different stores. Some don't have it. I did find it at...
This whole conversation we've had, we've talked about this one product, and at the very end, he names a different product. I know he never listens, does he? I mean, just
actually,
never.
I was looking at the show notes where it said Chew Stop.
Which is a different product.
You wrote that.
Because that's what you're trying to do, is get them to stop chewing, right? It's Chew Stop.
Okay, play it off. It's fine. You're a man who doesn't listen. We get it. Sorry, Jen. You married it.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, busting my chops about not listening, right, to my wife. Busting my chops about that. Do you know, I looked it up because you pissed me off. I looked it up, and in the typical wedding vows go like this. I take you to be my wedded wife, /husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in love and to cherish, till death do us part. It doesn't say a damn thing about listening to each other in there. Not what? One word. I'm the listening sorry. Word is not in there.
I didn't hear a word you just said. Did you go over that again? No clue. I got nothing.
All right. It's that time of year when you do your annual train the horses, how to put up with fireworks. We got, less than a month now, a little less than a month. This year is going to be terrible. It's just going to, you think that past years have been bad? They're going to have all kinds of new fireworks for the America 250th. They're already, the towns are already talking about, the one town here, Ocala, is talking about making it 20 minutes longer than it was last year.
Oh my God.
So there's just going to be every redneck is going to have thousands of dollars
more.
So I think you're going to have to do extra prep. We're giving you a month now. Can they get it done?
Okay. Just get to work on it. I started yesterday. So what you're going to do is, we should add this to our Amazon page, Glenn. A couple things, like, and add balloons to the page. So what you do is you get a pack of balloons. You have your horses and you bring them in to the stall wherever they get fed, and try to keep them like in a stall would be ideal. So you get the pack of balloons and you feed all your horses. And you can do this part before or after, but it's easier if you just do it and then do it. So you blow up a balloon right after you fed them, and you stand in your barn aisle and you pop the balloon. And they will go, oh my God. And they'll run to the back of the stalls like they've been shot. And then you just wait. And eventually they make their way back to the food. So they start eating again. And you pop the balloon. And they'll run to the back of the stall like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. And then you just keep repeating it when they eat. And eventually it will not bother them at all. And this is such good training for everything. Like, I am scared of loud noises, but Ace is not. And so, like, something will happen and I'll be like, oh, what was that? And he's like, shut up, Mom. Like, let's go. Like, he doesn't care. And I learned all of this because I was training Groot to go to the Thoroughbred Makeover, and I wanted to do mounted archery, but like add something harder. And so I popped balloons. And this happened because I was popping balloons outside of his stall while he was eating just to see if it would work. So then I could pop balloons when I'm shooting the archery. Well, it came to be July 4th and the fireworks went off and none of my horses cared. Because they'd had balloons popping in their stalls or right outside their stalls for a month, you know? And so just blow up the balloons, pop them when they're eating. So, and then wait till they come back to their food and then do it again and do it again and do it again and you do it again. And then you do it probably about, I can probably get about six a meal done, because after that I get dizzy. You don't have to time, you just blow it up, and I have a little pin and I'm a little like pit balloon popper, and I pop it and it explodes, and then I do another one, and like just about six each time, and oh my God, they won't care. So you got plenty of time to do it, maybe every couple days, and it will train them for everything. It's awesome.
I know a lot of the mounted shooters do this too. That's how they get them started, before they even introduce the sound of the gun going off.
Well, that's what I started in. I wanted to shoot some guns off my horses, Glenn. So that's what I was going for.
Like, you were better with archery, I think.
How to train these horses that I can shoot guns.
The girl that hates guns was going to do mounted shooting.
That was my plan.
You're much older and wiser now than you were.
No, I don't do guns. So yeah, no, it was simply by accident.
So what do you think
it
takes? How many feedings do you think it takes for them to really start? Some horses are better than others, I assume, but
you know, like three, four.
Yeah.
But I mean, keep doing it to generalize the learning portion of it, because you need to keep kind of like reminding them. You don't do it one day and 2 months later they remember it, but it helps. But just refresh it. It's all it is just telling them that it doesn't hurt and it's no big deal,
right? And by letting them there.
Yeah, nobody took my food. Nobody, I didn't get hurt. And then they start to learn to ignore those noises, which I'm sure that there's science behind this. And that, so everybody in the world knows this except for me. But I came up with it because of a need. And so I'm sure I'm not the first one to come up with it, but, you know, it works. So whatever.
I think I see a whole new product line here of custom HRN balloons.
Yes. And you could put Glenn's face on it. And when you poke it with a needle.
I was actually thinking we could have some Jamie faces and we could have some Glenn faces. And whoever said something that pissed you off that day, you've used that balloon. It would
that
be
is
perfect.
Such a good idea.
Or
pop my
we
face.
We could have both our faces on it for the horse husbands who are really sick of hearing us in the background. So then they could do it.
I don't
we
need
could
to make
a
this
fortune.
Personal, okay, but or we can just get balloons with both of, like a picture of both of us, and they can pop punch whoever in the face that day. Oh my god,
I love it. This is brilliant. I've talked to Ashley. We need balloons.
We need balloons.
Which, you know what's funny is we'd probably sell more of those than anything else we've ever done.
We haven't sold anything ever. So.
I know. Which, if we sell two, we'd be better off.
But yeah, the Amazon page. And don't forget, I was thinking about this because I live with this product. If you go to our Amazon page, Glenn, can you? I think
it's in every show notes,
link
actually. It's in every
the show notes.
Yep.
So yeah, in the show notes. But it's Amazon, Jamie and Glenn or something like that. Anyway, we have all sorts of stuff that we recommend. And when I put this in, Glenn thought I had like a disease or something, but I use this product called Scalpacin, and it's like a hydrocortisone, like anti-itch little thing. And you can get it. I put it on our Amazon page, and literally you put like, you know how your head gets so itchy after the sweat and your helmet and just like, you're just going crazy and just scratch your head all the time. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But this stuff, you just put on it.
Did you put it on your tick bites or?
I didn't put on my tick bites because the ointment that I got for my tick bites is my horses. Okay. I mean, seriously.
All right.
My horses and I share anti-itch items. Okay.
I feel like this has been a complete product episode. We haven't done one of those in a long time. We just did one. So thank you. Or you're welcome.
Only if we make balloons to sell of our faces, then it's a full circle product.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'll screenshot this. I'm going to text Ashley this request that we decided we wanted balloons with our faces on them, but I'm not going to tell her why. And we'll see how that text conversation goes.
And then you'll read it on Wednesday.
And I'll read it on Wednesday. All right. I'll do that. All right. I'll let you know. She's so smart, though. She'll probably figure it out immediately.
She's not listening, so no. I don't blame
her.
She
did. All right. Hold on, auditors. We're going to do a post show with you here shortly where you get to meet one of your own, Sarah.
Spay, neuter, geld, everybody.